It's good to be home. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to be home? Now, actually, when Pastor Titus invited me and asked me to speak on this theme, home, whoops, I felt a little bit guilty and bad. Now, this is my home, and I have been a member of this church for like about 30 years, maybe more. Okay, then you must be wondering, how old is she? Well, okay, you can keep guessing, all right? Now, yes, I have been a member of this church for like more than 30 years. So where have I been the last few years after I left? I stopped leading the youth ministry. Well, I've been to China. I went to China for a while since I was so mad about mission. So I need to go out and try for myself what it means, what it's like to live outside for a while. Then I came back to Singapore. And after that, I started to work because I had no money. And because I was a teacher by training, naturally, I'll go back to the school to work, okay, as an hourly paid teacher. Anyway, to cut the long story short, the last couple of years, I've been very busy with my mother, okay? So on weekends, I'm like her foreign domestic helper. Because Monday to Friday, I work a long hour. So only on weekends, I kind of make up and then, you know, do a lot of things for her. And it has been quite trying, you know, and the Lord has been building my character, even just serving one person. She's 95 years old, not easy. But every time when I find it very difficult to serve her, my mother will remind me of my experience in India when I went to the home of Mother Teresa, you know, to do missions work and all that kind of thing. And then the Lord will always remind me, you see, you can go on mission trips, right? How come you cannot serve your mother? Wow, okay. So better serve without complaining, huh? So sometimes she gets a bit difficult. In fact, 2 weeks ago, wow, she like was unconscious for like 2 hours. We tried to wake her up. She couldn't wake up, but her blood pressure, everything was normal. She just couldn't wake up. So we thought that she was gone. And you know, tonight you sing a lot about heaven, 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 heaven. But do you really believe that heaven is real? Okay, mind you, I believe heaven is real. Okay, so she woke up after the 2 hours. And you know what she told us? The heaven's gates are not open yet. So she came back. Funny, right? Then, when we asked her, do you know what happened last night? She couldn't remember. But you know, when she was so-called unconscious for 2 hours, she talked to every member of my family. I have 10 brothers and sisters, okay? So she talked to everybody, like giving her last words. So we really thought that she was going, she was gone. We were talking about funeral and everything. Then she woke up. Wow. So my conclusion is she had an out-of-body experience. And I believe the Lord took her somewhere. And then somehow she was, you know, doing what, and then she came back. So that's the long and short of story. If I have the chance, I'll tell you a little bit more about her. But she is a tough lady. And I believe there's something else the Lord wants her to do before she goes on, okay? So that is how I have been spending my time on weekends. So I have to wheelchair her to her church, okay? She belongs to another church. So wherever she wants to go, I will go with her. So that's how I spend my weekends. I hope to be back if I can as much as possible. I'm really not sure because, you know, as it is, she's quite uncertain. Sometimes she's okay, sometimes she's not. So I just have to look at the weather every day. Now, coming back to this, thank you for inviting me. I must read to you a text that Pastor Titus sent to me because I really do not know how to entitle my sharing. So I read to you now. He said, the theme would be home, where Kuz Youth is a family and will forever, everybody say forever. Yeah, forever be home for us. Wow, I like the word forever, man. Although in my mind, my adult mind says, where got forever one? But well, youth what? Okay, can got best friends forever also. So can. Forever! Hence, to let this generation know a bit more of this home that they have inherited or grew up in and how to fight for it and bring it to greater heights. Everybody say amen. It's just like how Kuz Youth embodied the cutting-edge spirit so well and was always in the forefront and championing things. Or even when we were so invested in missions. These things, this new generation does not know. They don't know what is in the blood of this ministry and the fire they can receive to carry on. Wow, when I read this, it came on the 27th of March. You know, I say, wow, I must come and speak and share, man. sounds very exciting. Okay, so I must bring. So I begin to search, you know, dig into all my cupboards, my don't know treasure chest, and I start to dig out a lot of photos. Now I'm going to show you something. Some photos. Can we go back to the? Yeah. Okay. So to continue, where I came from. So now, can you find Pastor Peter? Can, somewhere. This is Victor, right? Yeah, Peter is somewhere. I cannot find. I know he's here in front. Okay. Now, I know that when I point this out, I must better be fair, point this out. And then Victor is here, right? Then Peter is here. And there are some other faces. And I believe you still see them in church. All right? Now, so that, those were the times when we, led the youth ministry together. Okay. I was their youth pastor from 1999 to 2006 for a good 7 years. And then when I was leading the youth ministry, there were a few very, crazy people like me, Auntie Anne. Some of you remember Auntie Anne in the children's ministry, right? Okay. So after I led the youth ministry for like about 2 years, then Pastor Derek say, "Hey, can you also lead the children ministry?" I say, I love children. Can. Actually, I don't know what I was in for, okay? Terrible. Never mind. So I took on the youth ministry, children ministry as well. Then we have Auntie Anne, always full of party and tokens. Do you grow up with those days? Some of you are smiling, right? Wow. I met her recently last year, you know, December. And you know, of all places, you know where I met her? At the Changi Airport. At the gate where we were flying off, and where, guess where we are going? East Timor, Timor Leste. Wow, I couldn't believe it. I said, "Auntie Anne, where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to Timor Leste." I look at her and say, "Huh, I'm also going." We haven't met for years, and then we suddenly meet there. Okay, there's Auntie Pauline. This is Leanne. I heard that she attends a youth ministry, but today I'm not sure whether she's here. I know she's back in Singapore, but she's overseas, okay? And that's Pastor Derek Song, okay? That's Pastor Cornelius, and that's Pastor Seng Yen. Now, I think it's Pastor Seng Yen's birthday today, if I'm not wrong, for April the 14th. Go and check with him. Now, so these, and then there's Pastor Serena, Auntie Choyin, okay? That's me, that's Auntie Anne, that's Pastor Pauline, who started the Teach to Touch ministry. And then there's Auntie Daphne, Pastor Daphne, okay? Now, so these were the people in those times, okay, for the good 7 years where we were together. But after that, when I moved on, okay, of course, you know, Pastor Derek Song went to Thailand, and they are back after 10 years. And then we all move, and Pastor Seng Yen is still here, right? He's in adult ministry. Now, very thankful for all these people who were with me when we ran the youth ministry together. I'll tell you a little bit more about them later on. Now, next, before I tell you the stories, some more stories, I think it's important to ask ourselves, why is it important to remember what the Lord has done? How come Pastor Titus say, "Wow, this generation must know what the past generation does"? You know, sometimes history is boring and history does nothing to some of us, right? Okay, so I found this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. All right, can we read together? 1, 2, go. Pastor Titus, is it good enough? Good enough, okay, let's move on. Now, the Bible says, "Teach them to your children and to their children after them." Now, in other words, In other words, it is a command, okay? And what God is telling us is, you must be obedient to this command, okay? When God tells us something, we better be obedient. And why must we be obedient? Because as we continue to walk with Him, our faith in Him will be strengthened. You know, this thing about faith is something very very vague. Sometimes you don't know what this faith, and sometimes we come to church because it is based on our parents' faith, not our own faith, right? But the more you walk in obedience to God, the more will reveal to you, know what your faith in the Lord means, and your faith will be strengthened. And today we talk a lot about the new season. Okay, so as I share with you the stories, I pray, it's my heart's desire that you together, you know, with your youth pastors, with Pastor Joseph, Pastor Senior Pastor, together, as you seek the Lord for the future, what God has for you as a youth ministry, alright? So it's about your future. Everybody say future. Sorry, future. Future, everybody say future. Yes, it's about your future. So together, you can discern and pray. God, what is it that you want us to do, okay, as a ministry? Now, so the first thing, there are three things I'll tell you, three significant things during the 7 years of my leadership. In 1999, when I picked up the pieces, okay, I think the youth ministry at that time went through a quite a tough time. There were changes in leadership. So suddenly it became like a little bit abandoned. So in 1999, I took on the leadership. And then together with Pastor Song, Pastor Serene, we picked up the pieces, okay? So we were only about 40 youth, maybe 50, maybe 70. And I think there was one period of time we were worshipping at YMCA and all that. Then later on we went to the room 308, okay? Then for a good 2 years, we were just gathering people and there were, you know, the all the youth leaders that you saw in the picture, they were all coming around. They were all in a campus ministry. So we started to come together, okay? And then when we grew a little bit bigger, somehow there was this plan, a discussion with senior pastor, okay, in 2001. Actually, that was the time we were entering a new season, okay? We moved back to the main service at 5 p.m., okay? I think the older ones will remember this. We call it life at 5, okay? So in 2001, we moved back to the main church. Then, now, something very significant happened on that very first service, okay? Of course, you know who this person is, right? He's our former senior pastor, Derek Hong. So during that service, he actually confessed, okay, that he has actually neglected the youth ministry through the ups and downs and changes in the leadership of the youth ministry. I think he became like very, don't care about them, just leave them one side. And that happened after the passing of the very first youth pastor, whom I'll tell you more about later. Okay, so at that service, it was very moving because we felt the heart of the Father reaching out to us, His children. Okay, so it was like Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, coming alive. Okay, there was a very powerful act of reconciliation. Now, those of you who are older, do you remember that? Yes, right. That was very powerful because that set the stage for growth in the ministry. Okay, then throughout the next few years, we started to grow and grow and grow and grow, and we became about 400, okay, something like that. You think I can handle alone? Of course not, okay, it's with all the youth leaders that we did the growing and of the young people. Then, now, so the first thing very important about the youth ministry, okay, is to be united to the larger Kuz family. Okay, whatever you do, you know, sometimes we young people like to be independent, you like to do what you like. But very important, you must be united to the larger Kuz family. That's where you find the support, you know, from the elders and everybody, the blessings that will come. All right, so united to the larger Kuz family. And that's where we find that, wow, I think that's the right thing to do. Okay, of course, later on, for about good 4 years, after we continue to build that foundation to be united to the larger family, it became so big that we say, okay, in 2005, we better have our own youth service. That's when we started this youth service at, I think, 6 p.m., right? And then it has been running for the last about 13 years. All right, praise God. Now, but I believe that even as you were independent as a youth service, you were very much still dependent on the larger Kuz family. Okay, so that's first thing. Now, the second thing, I will bring you back all the way to about 30 years ago. This is the my cell group. The very first, my cell group, actually I only have one cell group because after that I became a cell leader, then I have another cell group. So this is my cell group. Some of you maybe remember, I'm not sure, I think none of you remember, Jasmine remember who they are. Okay, later I'll tell you about Auntie Jasmine. Okay, so this is my cell group and this is the very old Kuz church at Prince Charles Crescent. Now we have this new building, plus the, what, 9-story thing, right? Well, 5-story plus 4 levels of basement. Wow, so special. Last time at Prince Charles Crescent, we were only 1 level, no aircon, no lift. Very hot, but we spent many hours in church, all right? Then, I remember very clearly, on Saturday, I will go to church, youth ministry, no, and then a youth service, and then attend cell group. Then I will take the bus. That time there was no MRT. Take bus number 32 all the way to Katong. So every week I'll go to church on Saturday. Then on Sunday, go to church again. And it was very happening. Those days, you can see miracles. You can see, God healing the blind, God healing the crippled. Wow. It was very, very hot. You know, there was no air condition. But the church was really very happening. That was my impression of my, youth of Church of Our Savior when I was growing up. then I never go get tired of going to church at all. Okay? So that's how I think my faith grew in the Lord and I became very committed to what God was doing in this church. Then, this is my youth pastor. Okay? Late Pastor Philip Koh. Now, incidentally, this is the 20th year of his death anniversary. He died in a car accident, okay? Very tragic. Somebody we miss tremendously. These are the youth leaders he has raised up. And this lady here, she's here in the service today. Can you give a big round of applause to my youth supervisor? This is Auntie Jasmine. And Uncle Frank, okay? They're all seated in front. They say, I will come and support you. I say, wow. Now, this is how, you know, the presence of elders and adults in a youth ministry does to me, the kind of support that we get. Now, and then, of course, this is Auntie Serena, the wife of Pastor Philip, okay? But we praise God. Of course, not every one of them are still in this church, but God is using them in different ways, in different places. Now, so why am I bringing this picture back to you? Because I find that a very important thing I need to share with you is this. When I became the youth pastor at that time, I don't have any experience in youth work, right? I just know I love young people. So I said, God, how? I think it's a very difficult thing to do. And God told me from Exodus chapter 17, verse 5, that take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. So I say, elders. Then I started to remember, yeah, I had Auntie Jasmine with me, you know, I have Uncle Frank with me. So these are the people very important. And I remember there's Auntie Wendy and Edmund Lam. Okay, they taught me things like, you know, growing your faith, the new introductory welcome class, IWC, if I remember. Okay, so those were the things that I grew up with. So I say, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense to have elders in the church. So I say, okay, I better go and say hello to parents. Although I remember when I first took on the youth ministry, I got scolding from parents, you know. Wow, I was so frightened by one of them in particular. I know who that person is, but of course I've forgiven him. Okay, after that he became one of my best supporters. Then, so I said, nah, we really need elders, we need parents, we need people to come around us. Okay, so thank God, elders appeared. Wait. Now, there's a trouble with clickers. Now, do you remember Uncle Ezra? Yes, right. Auntie Chow? Okay, this one is Lala and Sam's parents. You remember them? I think they were here like until last couple of years. Okay, so these were many. This is Joseph's. Nicholas Tay's daddy. I think you know him and mommy. Okay, that is Auntie Rin Rin. And this is, guess who? Yeah, Pastor Titus' mummy. I think she's here at the service today. They're sitting at the back. Can you give her a big round of applause? Wow. Okay. Now, so these are all the elders that came around me, pray for me. Now, and you know, since I'm supposed to tell you history, right? So I went to search my treasure chest. I'm going to read to you a letter that Titus' mummy sent to me. Okay. I still keep it to today because it's so precious to me. Now I'm getting old, so I need my spectacles. Okay. Now this is a prayer that she prayed for me, and she emailed it to me. Precious Lord, I uphold Pastor B in your hand and bless her with Galatians chapter 9 verse 6 verse 9, that she will not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time she will reap a harvest if she does not give up. Dear Savior and Lord Jesus, the Koh's youth ministry is yours. Amen. All the youths are yours. Please continue to watch over them. Bless every leader and member. Enlarge their territory. Let your hand be with them and keep them from harm. In Jesus' name we pray. On behalf of all the parents whose children are under your care, I thank you for all that you have done. We might not have said it often to express our appreciation enough, but let me assure you, your reward is seen in the people whom you have influenced, for they bear the reflection of your trademark of Christ-likeness, the eagerness to serve, and the willingness to give of themselves, all for the glory of God. We love you. Wow. When I read this letter again and again, I was very touched, even up to today. Okay, that when I built the youth ministry in the last those years, I had many people who came around and supported me. So it's not just about me, but it's about people who have been praying and supporting us. So number two, as you move into this new season, remember, it is very important to have the presence of elders around us. Okay? Don't think that they are old-fashioned, outdated, what are they doing in the youth ministry? They are a very important source of support for us. Okay? Now, the third thing. Now, go back. This one, a lot of more photos. Never mind. Don't show already. No time. Okay, this is our retreat. Just now I heard your announcement. Wow, it's a retreat that brings everybody together. Sounds exciting, you know. Last time when I was leading the ministry, children and youth, I also had one retreat. All the children's workers and youth leaders came together. Wow, those were the days, okay, where I had so much more energy to do those things. Now, I'm not sure whether I will join you for your December camp, but I'll try if I can. Okay, so that was how we spent our good 7 years with a lot of support from elders, all right? Some of you still looking at some photos, right? It's very good. It's exciting to know these were the days when we had, when we grew up together. Now, the third thing. Why do I show you this photo? Okay, this one, this lady here is Pat Ao Yang, my cell leader, my one and only cell leader when I was at that Prince Charles Crescent. Now, and this is the auditorium here, you know, in this church. Okay, before we had all these red cushions, we sit on pews like that. What do you think? Better, right? Some of you are falling asleep, I think. In these comfortable red cushions. Anyway, hopefully not, alright? You have so much energy. Now, so this is the pews that we sat on. Now, another thing I remember very clearly when I was growing up in the youth ministry of this church is, you know, some of these names, Brother Chu Bun An, Brother Yo Guan Cheng, Frank Teo, who actually has passed on, okay? And then, we have Pat Kok, alright? Also has passed on. Now, when I was growing up in the youth ministry, one thing I remember very clearly, we had many pioneer missionaries. Okay, they were like our William Carey, C.T. Studd. Oh, by the way, that's William Carey, okay? C.T. Studd, Hudson. Oh, sorry, that's Hudson Taylor, William Carey and C.T. Studd. They were like the Hudson Taylors and C.T. Studds of Church of Our Savior. All right, in fact, these two have passed on already in the mission field. Now, so missions is not something that got into me when I led the youth ministry. When I was growing up, I was already so impacted by the stories, by the missionaries that Goose Church of Our Savior has raised. All right. Now, I'm going to show you a video clip at this juncture. Okay, I think I should show you the video clip now. Something about the missions things that we did years ago. Is it coming on? Coming on. Okay, before it comes on, maybe I show you this. Now, so is this youth prayer and missions movement called Joshua 21? Now, that's Pastor Sam. Hey, you recognize him or not? Huh? It's him. Okay, that's him, Pastor Sam. This one. Yeah, I think he didn't recognize himself when I sent him the slides. They were shocked. What? Okay, I'm not sure whether you know Pastor Josh. Okay, he's now in Thailand. All right, so that was the prayer and missions movement that we were strongly involved in with Pastor Derek's strong support. Okay, then of course, you know, those days we pray like mad. We had a 24-hour prayer concert right in this place for 24 hours. We didn't sleep. Pray and pray and pray and pray. Wow, crazy, right? Those were the days that we had all those kind of energy. Okay? Okay, so as a youth ministry at that time, we embraced the Great Commission. Of course, we were going on short trips, many short trips, just for exposure, for awareness, to see for ourselves what is it out there that God wants us to inherit. All right? Now, so that was Viva 100. I think it took place in 2003. Subsequently, okay, maybe we can go back to the slides. Subsequently, we went on many other trips. We went to India. All right, we went to China. These were those, and then we went to Southeast Asia. Now, and I think you know who this lady is, Li Shan. All right, she's already been in Timor Leste for 10 years with Siu Li. Okay, I think she's back this period of time. Now, so those were the days when we did all those things. Now, so great. the Great Commission, and of course, just now I think Titus mentioned about the air charter, alright? We really chartered an aeroplane that brought about 300 young people to Timor-Leste, to do humanitarian work, friendship exchange, etc., etc. Of course, not just our church, with the other churches, under Love Singapore. Okay? So that was, Timor-Leste. Now I think I need to fast forward. It's not easy there, definitely. Okay, we slept on those places. It was very hot. There's no sheltered walkway that we have in Singapore. All right. And then, and then subsequently, after 2005 charter, I also brought small teams back, you know, on medical trips and all that, just for further exploration. And then there's Benjamin Lam, Dr. Benjamin Lam. I think he's still in this church. All right. Now, before I go there, what is so important about the three things? Number one, can you remember the first thing? United what? What's the first thing I told you very important? United to the larger Kuz family. Everybody say united. United, okay, you have energy right just now. Now, so at home forever. Now, if you want this youth ministry to be a home forever, one first thing, remember, very important, you must be united to the larger family. All right? Second thing, the presence of who? Elders, that's right. Just now Titus joked with me, he said, hey, you must come back because you're an elder. Well, it's true. But I told you, okay, I need to pray and ask God whether, you know, how to handle my mother's situation at home, etc., etc. Now, never doubt, okay, the power of praying mothers and fathers who will be around you or adults. They are very important people who will continue to move together with you as you go into an unknown. All right. The third thing. Now, this thing, embrace the Great Commission. I know some people are very uncomfortable. Yo, can I really? Well, start small. Okay. Youth ministry should not just be a place for food, fun, fellowship. I tell you, after a while, you get tired and you start saying, so what's the point? Every day come for food, for fun, for fellowship. That's all. Okay, come on, young people. There's got to be greater purpose. There's got to be something greater than just food, fun, fellowship. Of course, you must continue to read your Bible and pray every day. And I trust that you do that, okay? I've been following Pastor Daniel's sermon, okay? I think he has been telling you. These are all things very, very important. But beyond the food, fun, and fellowship and all the camps, you've got to ask yourself, what is it they were existing for? Okay, the Great Commission is important. And now, as you move into a new season, Pastor Daniel last week talked about enlarging your tent, start with local evangelism. Yes, that's the way. Reach out. Look out for people around you. You know, do acts of kindness, whatever it is. And let God bring in the people and fill the auditorium. Do you believe that will happen? I think if I'm not wrong, he said that to fill this place by another 500 people. Am I right? Last week. Sermon, you remember? Oh, better go and listen to your senior pastor's sermon. Huh? Okay? I think he said, because there were many salvations last week, or 70 if I'm not wrong, okay, or last few weeks. Then he says, can we try 500 people by the end of this year? Can you try? Yes! Hello, do you have energy? Yes, okay. Let's try. Do your part. Bring your friends, whatever it may be. Of course, you must be an energizer. If you are like that, then I think your friend come also. I think it's a boring place. I don't come. Okay? Correct or not? Okay? So make sure you do something about that. Alright. As a youth ministry, you cannot just be existing for food, fun, fellowship, and camps, and that's all, and go home. Very soon, you will think that it's going to be the most boring place. Okay? Now, so what does it take to inherit, to make this place your home forever? I told you I like this term, forever, right? Although in my heart I say, where got forever one? Something will stop, right? But you know what I mean. You need to commit yourself to this home, okay? Now, fast forward again. Now, what does it take? I just want to leave you with three thoughts. What does it take to inherit this home or to make this home forever? Number one, you must be courageous. Number two, be resilient. And number three, be wholehearted. Okay? I will talk very quickly on the first point, be courageous. You know, when Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land, right? A lot of things, God talked to them about a lot of things. But one thing very common, in common between the two of them. Now, God spoke to Caleb and said, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid. Okay, that means don't fear of the people of the land, because we will deliver them, we will devour them, their protection is gone, etc., etc., etc. Okay, and he talked about the same thing to Joshua. You know, in Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land and I swore to the ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous and blah, 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 etc. And then in verse 9, he repeats again, be strong and courageous. So you see, when you want to take on something from the Lord, when you enter this new season, when you are going into the, you know, unknown, one of the things that you need in your heart is courage. Everybody say courage. Courage. Don't fear. I know it's very difficult. Okay? I felt exactly like that when I took on the youth ministry many years ago. I felt like a Moses in Exodus chapter 4. You know, when Moses told God, God, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. How to speak? And then later on combined with the main church, right? Wow, I speak in front of the whole church. God, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. Then God said the same thing he said to Joshua, to me. So these three verses, I keep reading, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading, and tell myself, okay, be strong and courageous. I cannot fear, I cannot fear, I cannot fear. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Okay? So when God tells you something, remember, okay, he is greater. Everybody say, he is greater. He is definitely greater than the task that he has for you. So no matter how big the dream God is going to paint to you in the days to come as you seek him, as you pray, as you fast, remember this. Okay? The first thought the enemy will put in your mind is, can you do it or not? Are you sure or not? Don't be crazy. Don't do it. People will laugh at you. All these things is sure to come. Okay? But if you know that this is what the Lord says, you must obey him and you cannot fear. Okay? Remember the word of God. Number two. Be resilient. Now, this thing about resilience, I know in your schools, maybe your teachers are also talking about it, okay? I work in a school, I know, okay, something, you know, there's this thing talk about, nowadays, young people are not resilient, a little bit also cannot, a little bit, you know, I work in a primary school, somehow, there are a lot of falls, scratches, mosquito bite, complaints, how to be resilient? Difficult, right? So, but I say, God, people must be different, okay? If you want to inherit the land, if you want to inherit the promises that God has for you, you got to have that resilience. Now, I give you an example, myself, or again, one of those treasures that I keep. You know, the air charter that Pastor Titus talked about, it was a very, very traumatic experience for me in some ways, okay? Because right up the, about 1 week before the charter flew, 3rd of December. You know, 1 week, what happened? The CEO of that airline said that we are not going to do the charter for you. I say, what? My goodness. And of course, at that time, we haven't signed the contract. So actually, we are on the losing end. I say, oh no. Well, I tell you, at that time, 1 week before 3rd December, it was the children's camp, Urban Kids, okay? I remember it was at GB campsite. So because I was also overseeing the children ministry, I also had to visit the children ministry. So on the way to the children's ministry camp, I was crying in the train because I was really very, very scared and wonder what I should be doing because 300 people are waiting to fly off in an aeroplane. How can I at that time say, oh, it's a no-go? It was really very, very scary, you know. So, you know, when we encounter difficulties, all right, when you encounter difficulties, it doesn't mean that you cannot cry. Like me, I will cry. Okay, it's an emotion, right? So, but after crying, what do? You must do something about it. Okay, so thank God for prayer warriors. When I reached a children's ministry camp, I have very good friends with me, and we said, come, let's pray. Let's not give up. So I said, okay, let's pray. Then after praying, of course, I feel much better, right? Then on the way home, I was still crying, say, oh God, how? You know, so this is human. But you must remember, the battle is the Lord's. If I really believe that the air charter is from the Lord, I must believe for the final breakthrough. So when I go home, on the way home, it was very late at night already after the camp. I said, God, I must do something. Do whatever you can, humanly possible. So you know what I did? I wrote an email to the CEO, okay? Then, something very encouraging came to me when I was writing the email. It was an SMS. That time I already got SMS, of course, okay? SMS from Pastor Vic, alright? I'll read to you what he texted me. He wrote to me, he quoted Psalm 77 verse 14. I will continue to pray and groan, intercede, Thank you for showing perseverance. It's a blessing to see someone walking the talk. I am very impacted. You know something? When I read this email, I said, God, if I've done nothing, you know, if the whole charter didn't go through, it's okay. I've impacted one young person. And this young person became your youth pastor, right? So I was like, oh God, never mind. I still must press on. Of course, I continue to write the email. So I wrote the email to the CEO. And I went to sleep. Okay? Trust God, right? Must have peace. So I went to sleep. It was difficult, but I went to sleep. The next morning, I told myself, if the CEO doesn't respond to me, I'm going to the office. I'm going to park myself there and make sure I seek an audience while I'm seeing the king or the president. See, don't give up. Resilience. Cry, yes, but you must stand up and do something. Okay? So I said, okay, God, if don't reply, never mind. I must do something. I must try all things humanly possible. So I went to the, I didn't go to the office. I didn't have to step in. When I stepped into work at Henderson, our office was at Henderson, my contact at the airline or company, text me. He said, Bee-Ling, I don't know what you wrote to the CEO, you know. Suddenly the whole office is talking about your charter again. It's true. It's going. It's flying. I say, wow, praise the Lord. I don't know what I did. I think it's just some human words that I use, but I believe it was the Lord who actually made the way for me. Okay? So young people, my point about being resilient is this, okay? When you meet challenges, troubles, and I guarantee you, when you move into your new season, there will be problems. Alright? I heard that your lift is really giving you problems, right? That's a small problem. Alright? That's a very small problem. But when you move into a new season, there will be many problems. And there, some of you will start to complain, do this, do that. Why must do this? Well, a lot of things. Headache. There will be difficulties. But you remember one thing, okay? Look at Exodus, two words very important, I'll stress to you. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. You must go forward. Can you tell your neighbor, go forward? Now, you know, at that time before they crossed the Red Sea, what was happening? The Red Sea was in front of them, okay? The enemies were behind them. What were on their sides? The deserts were on both sides. They had nowhere to go. But they had to go forward. Okay? So I want to encourage you. You know, when you face difficulties, you can cry like what I did in the MRT. Very embarrassing. At night, but never mind. Not many people. But still cry. You feel good. But after that, don't remain in your sob situation. Heal me, God. Bless me. Pity me. Don't remain in your difficulty and wallow in self-pity and complain and complain and complain. Then you will never enter your promised land. You will just end up in that desert going round and round and round and round and round. Okay? So you must stand up and say, God, I must press in. I must press on and I must go forward. All right? So be resilient. Everybody say, be resilient. Be resilient. Yes, amen. So in the face of insurmountable obstacles, the people of God went forward. And that is what you have to do. All right? The third point. Okay, the third point. Go forward. The third point will be this one. Yes. This is something we must learn from Caleb. Now, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land and he went in and his descendants will inherit it. Now, wholeheartedly. If you check the dictionary, wholeheartedly, if you check, maybe some of you are Googling now, maybe. Okay, handphones, right? It's not banned during service, but be careful. Don't be distracted. Now, so if you Google and you check the dictionary, wholeheartedly, they will tell you sincere, energetic, enthusiastic. Do you have energy? Do you have energy? Yes! Are you sure? Hello, do you have energy? Yes! Okay. Do you have enthusiasm? I hope so. Remember, okay, young people, you must have energy, enthusiasm. Now, what about sincerity? Sincerity. Now, sincerity, being wholehearted, you know, the Chinese word of wholehearted is 真诚, right? Those of you who know Chinese, 真诚. There's this thing, 真 in front, 真 means real. Okay, and that means not fake. 诚意, sincere. Now, being sincere is something a bit difficult sometimes, right? Because our heart very deceitful. Huh? Our mouth can say one thing, but our heart don't mean it. But we still say it. That's terrible, isn't it? Okay? Now, so one thing we need to do is, when you want to be wholehearted, always constantly ask the Lord to zero in, zoom in on what is in your heart. Okay? Can you tell your neighbor, don't be fake. Be sincere. See, there's so much about fake news, fake news, fake news. Everybody working very hard, every country working very hard to crack down on all these untruths. I don't know, do what, very busy. But what about our hearts? Our hearts fake. I hope not. Okay, that one only you know and God knows. Sometimes people we don't know. All right, that's very dangerous. So our heart must constantly be checked before the Lord and say, God, check my heart. Search my heart, oh God, just like King David. Ask the Lord to search your heart every time and say, God, I want to wholeheartedly follow you. I know there are many distractions you may have. In fact, some of you are now very distracted. You're thinking, wow, I must do this, I must do that, I must do 1,001 things, but also busy in Singapore. Right? But when we come into the presence of God, when we do God's things, we must be wholehearted. All right? Everybody say, wholehearted! Wholehearted. Okay, can we have the worship team up now? We'll just end this time by just praying through these three items for you, okay, for myself. Let's together rise to our feet and say, God, search my heart. Okay, search my heart and ask the Lord, where is your heart today? You know, you can be coming to church on a weekend because your daddy asked you to come, your mommy asked you to come. It's one of the most boring things to do. You come because your cell leader asked you to come. It's not exciting at all. You could be doing many other things out there. Maybe you come because to please somebody, to meet somebody. But where is your heart? Okay? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. God, if I want to inherit this land, if I want to make this youth service, this youth ministry my home forever and ever and ever and ever, then today, come and search my heart. Because I got to be wholeheartedly following you. Before I can inherit the land, before I can do greater things together with you. Before I have the courage to say, God, I will not fear. Before I have the resilience to say, God, I will not give up. Because the journey ahead of you is not easy. It won't be easy. And God is looking for people who will run the marathon, not just a 100 meter sprint. All right, let's close our eyes and just lift up our hands unto the Lord. And say, God, come and search my heart. Come and search my heart, O Lord, today. As we enter into this new season, before we can even think about greater things that God will do for this church in the coming days, greater things than the last 10 years, greater things than the last 20 years. Oh God, we thank you, we believe you for greater things that will come to Church of Our Savior. But God, tonight we stand here, oh Lord, and say, God, come and search our hearts, oh Lord. Where is our heart? Lord, if our heart is far, far away, Lord, would you bring us back to where we belong? God, would you come and search our hearts? And will you find pure hearts? Hearts that are totally committed to you. Hearts that will not bow down to evil. Hearts that have no idolatry. A heart that hates sin. Anything, oh Lord. Oh Lord, that will draw us away from you, oh God. God, we want to lay it down at the foot of your cross. God, we want to thank you. We thank you for every young person here, every adult here, oh Lord. Lord, I believe it's not by coincidence that we're here this evening. Lord, because you have a great plan and purpose, not just for individuals, but for a cause, for church, and for this generation, oh Lord. Father, we thank you, oh God, that you are the God of the generations. Today we stand before here, Lord, to witness your faithfulness throughout all generations. Lord, from the time when Pastor Philip Cole, Lord, set up the youth ministry. Lord, today, Lord, we see Titus and Sam and Pastor Tina. Lord, we thank you, God, that indeed you are the God of faithfulness, oh Lord. From generation to generations, you are faithful. Father, we thank you that this is the inheritance you have given to us at Church of Our Savior. Father, we come before you and say, God, indeed, Lord, we are nothing. We are just your servants. God, we come before you, Lord. We kneel before you. We bow down before you and say, oh God, you are the great God. Lord, come and do what you need to do in our hearts tonight. Purify it, O Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to hate evil. Anything that is not right before you, anything that is unpleasing before you. God, I pray that today we'll make the decision to throw it away, to give it up. We want to walk out of this place with a new heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God, may you find, Lord, every young person here, a man and a woman like Caleb and Joshua. Lord, like Caleb especially, who follows wholeheartedly, follows you wholeheartedly, forever and ever and ever. God, we thank you. God, we thank you, O Lord. And Lord, I know that as we do that, Lord, as we walk in obedience, you will begin to give us the courage. You will begin, Lord, to build us to be a people of resilience. Lord, to enter the promised land that you have for us, for our church and for our generation. Father, we thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just want to encourage you to just say that prayer of dedication unto the Lord. Maybe you have not been reading the Bible. Maybe you've been far away from the Lord. Just pray unto the Lord and say, God, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to you, God. I want to read your Bible. I want to worship you in my quiet time, in my personal devotion. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. Before I can disciple others, I must be a disciple of Jesus. I must read the Bible every day. I must pray. Lord, I must instill these spiritual disciplines into my heart so that I can be ready to reach out to my friends, to be fervent. Lord, to share the gospel with energy, with enthusiasm, and not be ashamed of the gospel. Lord, I thank you. God, I pray that you reserve, Lord, these young people, Lord, to do your works in a greater manner in the days to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, when this new service timing is so significant to me, although we are still in the same auditorium, we are still in the same church, it's the same people, but it's so significant because in 2005, I was only a Sec 1 boy. That is when we first had our service here at 6 p.m. And through the ups and downs, through the joys and the sadness of church life, we have been meeting faithfully for 13 years. And today marks an end of that season because we are changing the time. And we're stepping into a new season of Kuz Youth. And I know Pastor Daniel shared one month back that whatever we do now as a church is going to be recorded as season 2 of Kuz. And I think that's the same for Kuz Youth as well. Whatever we do in Kuz Youth from today, this service onwards, will be recorded as Kuz Youth season 2. The next 13 years of Kuz Youth ministry is in your hands. It's for you to write the story. It's for you to allow God to use your life and to do something. I don't know about you, when I saw the video just now, it was a glimpse, a flashback of what Kuz Youth used to be like. The Kuz Youth that I grew up in. And that is something that I'm staying on here for. That's something I want, my heart today was to show you guys, this is the Kuz Youth that we used to be. This is the Kuz Youth that we can be. One that is on fire for God. One that loves God. The one that wants to serve God with all our lives. And today Pastor B shared so much. So much precious things that God has done. And I hope that you guys captured something within your hearts to say, I want that for my generation. You know, she said, she used to see in church there'll be healings and all that. Don't we want to see that in our generation? Kuz Youth, do you guys want to see that? Yes, right? Can we turn to the verse in Joshua? Alright, I'm going to read Joshua 3, verse 3 to 5. And they commanded the people saying, okay, the context of this verse is when Joshua is going to lead the people to cross the river of Jordan. And this is before they cross. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and the Ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many of you here want to see the Lord do wonders amongst us, including you? How many of you? Raise up your hand. We all want to see God work wonders among us, right? But for that to happen, we have to step across the river of Jordan. We have to cross that river. We have to enter a new season. But our confidence is not in ourselves, because in the verse it says, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, goes before us. We just need to follow. Even though it's somewhere, it's an area that we have not passed before, God goes before us and we follow. And that is His faithfulness, that is His love for us. He guides us into this new season. But before God works wonders amongst us, so there's two things that we have to do. The first thing, we have to set out from our place, from where we are. We have to be ready to do something different. We have to be ready to step out from where we are. And the second thing that we have to do is to sanctify ourselves. And to sanctify means to consecrate, to set ourselves apart. And today, Kush Youth, I just want to invite all those who feel that you have that heart, all those who want to commit to this body, to this family, to this home, to set out from your place, to take a step out of your seats and come to the front as an act, a symbolic act of saying that I want to be part of this journey. I want to be a part of this journey, stepping across the river of Jordan. I want to commit to Kush Youth, my family. And if that is you today, even as the worship team plays the music, you can come and step out to make that commitment. And we will sanctify ourselves, we will dedicate ourselves today as one Kush Youth as we move forward into the season. So if that is you, you can just come to the front and we will have a quick prayer together. Nothing fanciful or nothing, but it is just an act, a symbolic act of saying, I want to commit. I want to take that step out of my comfort zone of whatever area that I am in. Nobody's going to pray for you or anything. It's just between you and God. It's just between you and us as a family, as a body of Christ, being in this together. Whatever happens in the next 13 years and more will be what you guys as a Kush Youth will do, will write. And God is the author. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this home today. Father, they are not here by chance. but they are here by choice. And I thank you for everyone who made that choice to be here, to be a part of this family. Father, thank you that you set before us a future. You set before us a future and plans to prosper us as a Coos youth. Father, I know that there is so much more for us to do, so much more for us to pursue in the years to come. And Father, today, even as we start, we want to start off by dedicating ourselves to you. Because you are worthy. You are worthy of us coming before you. Can I just invite Pastor B, Pastor Peter, Pastor Joseph to just pray over us as a body, even as we enter into this season.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone that is standing before you. Lord, a very significant moment for each and everyone who has decided, Lord, to be totally committed to you, first of all. Lord, to all that you have planned for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the pastors that you have placed over each and everyone here in this ministry. We thank you for Pastor Tina, Pastor Sam, Pastor Titus. We thank you, Lord, for their leadership. Lord, we pray that together, Lord, with all the young people under their charge, Lord, they will first of all, God, put you, put Christ as first in their lives, O Lord. Lord, they will recognize, O Lord, that Jesus, you are the reason for all that they are doing. That, Lord, they will love you wholeheartedly, O God. And Lord, they will recognize the calling that you have upon their lives. Lord, to do whatever that you call them to do. Father, I pray that every one of them will have godly character, oh Father God. Lord, upright in their hearts, oh Lord. Lord, they will hate evil, every form of sin. Lord, they will always be pursuing you with a pure heart. And Father, I pray, oh God, that they will continue, Lord, to have that compassion, that kindness, that graciousness, that merciful attitude towards people around them as they serve them, oh Lord. Lord, as you ask them to reach out, oh Lord, to their friends, Lord, to reach out to their neighbors. Father, I pray, oh Lord, that spirit of compassion will come down upon us, oh Father God. Lord, that they will reach out with graciousness, will reach out with sincerity, oh Lord. Oh Lord, it will not just be our human effort, oh Lord, that will put people off, but Lord, you'll be a touch of Jesus, oh Lord. It will be a touch of Jesus, Lord. Everywhere we go, whatever we do, oh Father God, Lord, it will be that magic touch of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we pray that you give us courage. Lord, we know that whatever you call us to do, Lord, there will be that human fear within us. Father, we come before you and say, God, we surrender that human fear before you. Lord, we want to be courageous like Caleb, like Joshua, oh Father God. Lord, to always continually go back to you, pray and seek you for that courage that we so need to accomplish a task that you have given to us as greater than us, oh Lord. But God, you are greater. Father, we thank you. Father, we pray for that pioneering spirit, that courage that will come upon each and every one of us here, and especially, Lord, the youth leaders, the youth pastors, the supervisors, oh Lord. Father, we thank you. And Father, I pray indeed, oh Lord, for godly imagination, for skillful hands, Lord, for that mind, Lord, to discern your ways for their generation. Father, it's going to be an exciting time because you're going to give them great dreams for their generation. Father, I thank you that you'll be not an ordinary dream, but Father, it will be a dream, oh Lord, that will take them into the next generation and generations to come, oh Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I sense that there are many of us here that we do not feel we belong to this home that we are talking about. But I sense the Lord is reminding us that whether you belong here or not, it's not dependent on your role in this ministry. It's not dependent on the school, the background that you come from. It's not even dependent on how well you feel you click with the people here. But it's dependent on our relationship with the Lord. It's simply about us recognizing that we belong to the one Lord. So Father, we want to come before you and knowing that the most important thing about us being in one family is who our Father is. Lord, let these young people come to recognize the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ over this household. It is not even the pastors and the leaders' church, but it is first of all the church of Jesus Christ. So draw our hearts to look to you and to be guided by you in every way. And Lord, I also want to thank you that we are a part of Church of Our Savior. As one youth ministry, we are a part of this larger body. Lord, I know that you are renewing and extending this church, not just even in the premises. So Lord, we ask that you renew and you extend this church community. Father, renew our hearts. Renew our love for you. Renew our faith in your word, even in the impossible situations. And renew our obedience to your mission, O God. And as you circumcise our hearts in that manner, to show us that you'll be the one who will conquer on our behalf. And so I just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to extend your kingdom in the places wherever you desire, O God. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our cornerstone. Amen. Amen.
Just want to like us to hold hands the person beside you as a symbolic of that we are one family in Christ. Right? And this moment, I just, you know, some of us here, maybe you are at a journey where you are passionate for Christ. Some of us here, maybe you feel that you are distant, you know. You don't feel that you are close to Jesus. You look at your friends, they dance, they jump, but then you ask, but I'm not there. Some of us, probably you have given up your faith. You try so hard to reach out to Jesus, but things doesn't happen. Maybe some of us here, you have gone through so much disappointment, and you begin to doubt God. Is God really real? I just want to encourage you that God is here. His presence is here. In the sense that the word that God has given to me this afternoon for you, He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And His plan is greater than what you think about your own life. It's bigger. And God wants you to have faith. So there's one word I want to pray for you tonight or this evening is faith. Faith believing in who Jesus is. Faith in believing that what God says is true. Faith in believing that God can do a greater things. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in this family. It is about God's desire to save the world. It is about God's desire that He wants to change your life, and through you, He wants to make a difference in this world through you and your life. I do not know how God's going to do it, but He's going to do it. So I want to close this time in prayer by asking you, let your faith arise. Let our faith arise for Him right now. Father, we want to come before you, Lord. We can sense your presence here. Your word has spoken to us. And Lord, we know deep in our hearts you want to do a great thing, so Lord, in our lives, in our church, in our community. Father, we know there are many people in our world today. They are crying out for Jesus. Lord, there are many people in our world today. They are lost in their ways. There are many people in our world today, Lord. They are going through hardship. They are experiencing brokenness in their lives. They are searching for God. They are crying out for Jesus. And Lord, you heard their prayer. And I just believed it in my heart, Lord, as you what you've shared to us this afternoon or this evening. You are calling us right now, my son and my daughter. If you hear my words today, if you hear my message right now, would you respond? Respond to my words. Would you obey me? Would you rise up right now? I don't need you to be very smart. I don't need you to be very talented. I don't need you to be someone who can score a lot of A's in your studies. I don't need you to be someone who looks very good. I don't need all these things. All I want from you tonight, are you willing? Are you willing to follow me? And let me show you what I can do through you and your life. And let me show you what I want to do in this world with you together. Are you willing? Are you willing to available yourself to let me use you? I don't need someone who can be very strong. I don't need someone who can was very smart. I don't need that. I just need someone who is willing to obey me, who is willing to avail themselves, and who is willing to humble themselves before me. My sons and my daughter, I want you to hear this word tonight. I want to use you. I want to use you. Open your heart and let me come into your life. Open your heart and let me come into your life, and I will show you what I can do through you and in you. I want you to know, my sons and daughter, you are far, far greater than what you think about your life. My plan for you is much, much higher than that. Don't allow yourself to be stuck into things that you think what you can do. But just come to me and I will show you the great things I want to do in your life and in this church. So Father, I just have one very simple prayer, Lord. I pray, Father, that this church, that this youth, indeed, it will not be just a place where we can have, want to a place to have fun. We want to have a place where there is fellowship. There are food, there are celebrations. But more than that, Father, Lord, we want to be this place, a place that life will be transformed, a place that life will be changed, a place that those who come in brokenness, they will find restoration here, oh Lord. A place that, Father, that those who are discouraged, that when they come here, they will experience the power of God in their life. A place that, Lord, that when they need healing, when they come here, receive healing from you. A place, oh God, that we will worship you with all our heart, mind and soul. A place that whenever we come to you, oh God, we expect to meet you. A place where we come to you, we come in unity and faith that we will meet you. A place, oh God, that your name will be glorified. A place, oh God, your presence is filled in this place. A place, oh God, that whoever comes here, they step into this place, they will find freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this is our prayer tonight, oh God. This is our prayer tonight, oh God. Here's our prayer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. God, we are so blessed. You have been so kind to us. We see your face and your grace through every leader, every member that's passed through these gates. And you have been so abundantly good to us. How can we not respond? So God, we rise up and worship you with gratitude. Our hearts overflow with just simply thankfulness at what you have done through all the leaders that's gone before us. You are a God of generations. You are the same God who is yesterday, today, and forever.
And God, we praise you for the person that you are. Your power is through the generations, the same power, the same God that worked mightily in generations before us. It's the same God that we serve today. And we know that you are faithful tomorrow. So God, we praise you that you are a God who doesn't change. You're a God who's faithful even when we are faithless. And God, we praise you, God, for the person that you are with all our hearts. You know, guys, every generation must lay their own bricks. And you have a brick that you must lay, that only you can lay. Your life has a purpose, a very unique destiny. So you hear Pastor B and Pastor Peter and Pastor Joseph, they all have laid certain bricks of their own. What is the brick that you will lay? And God has a destiny for you in this time such as this. Just as He called us as a community for such a time as this, how will you treasure what you have been given? So we're going to pray a prayer together to dedicate ourselves. Because I think it's fitting that when we hear so much blessing, we have to respond. Don't you think so? It is fitting for us to respond. But before we pray together, I want you to spend half a minute on your own and think about the immensity of what you have been given, and tell God yourself that you want to commit to Him as a people group here and also in your own life. Okay, just take half a minute to do that. Then when we pray together, it is meaningful. Let's pray together as a Coos Youth, and I'm going to read out a prayer, and if that is your commitment, I want you to pray after me line by line. Okay, let's put your hands on your heart, because that is symbolic of you wanting to give commitment. But don't do it because the person on your left and right is doing it. Do it because you have made a choice. Okay? When we read this together, I want you to read with conviction. Because when you pledge an allegiance, when you make a commitment, you don't do it like, God, thank you. No. You tell God, God, I pledge myself to you, and I will serve you. Read it with that conviction. Alright? Can we do that? Father God, as a youth min, we worship you with gratitude for all the people and leaders who obeyed your voice. We honor you by honoring the people who have gone before, and we bless them in your name to do everything you call them to do. We dedicate ourselves today to take the baton and step into whatever shoes you want us to step into. We will stand united with the larger Coos body. We will honor elders in our midst. We commit to being courageous, resilient, and wholehearted. We will be strong and courageous to be careful to do everything you say. We will not tremble, for we choose to believe that you are with us wherever we go, and you are mighty God. Help us to be a people with a different spirit. We declare that you are our God, our cloud by day and our fire by night. We will go only where you go and do only what you want us to do. Give us clean hands and a pure heart to serve you and serve others. And as a Coos Youth, in the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
So Father, here we stand as one generation, as one people of Coos Youth. Father, that we will be a generation that seeks your face. We will be a generation that pursues the things on your heart. We will be a generation that is willing to die to self, to lay down our lives for you, O Lord. because you have called us to be that generation to make a change, that generation to shake things up in society, that generation who will be your voice on behalf of the heavens, on behalf of the angels, on behalf of you, O Lord. We will speak truth, we will speak love, we will speak hope into every area that we step into. Be it in our schools, our family, our workplaces, we will be that generation that serves you. We will be that generation that doesn't waver in our faith, but we will always seek your face. We will always seek your presence, and we will always stay so close to you. Father, I pray for every leader of whatever capacity here in Kus Yu, Father, today, that you give them a greater capacity to love you and to serve you, to know that it is not a burden to serve you, but it is a privilege, it's a joy to come in partnership with you. Father, today, I pray that in their conduct, in their speech, that they will rise up to live in a standard that is higher than ever before. Father, even as they stand before the rest of the congregation to lead them in various ways, in various aspects, Father, may you give them that greater capacity to live up to that holiness, to live up to that faithfulness, to live up to that gentleness and that amount of love that they will have for the rest of the people. So, Father, I thank you for today, this significant service. I thank you for all the people here, each and every one of them, knowing that you have a beautiful plan for them, to use them and to love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.kus.org.sg. God bless.